The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Simon, nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good. All good, thank you.
Rewind the clock a little bit. Take us back into how this all came about.
I've spoken to Dermot over the last couple of years about some different things, and then he sort of approached me and asked me would I get involved with a club and sort of come and use my experience of being in football, nearly 40 years now playing and managing different clubs, different levels, just to have a look at the club in general and try and pass on a little bit of advice of what I think that needs to happen behind the scenes, on the pitch, etc., to stop the to improve the club, but also to make it more stable and not sort of try and go through the process of a promotion, a relegation, a promotion, because it's a big football club and had fantastic history and tradition in the past. The last few years have not been ideal. So when Dermot asked me to do that, I came over, I had 6 weeks, came over 2-3 days, spoke to a lot of people behind the scenes and got a feel of the whole area, the football club, the league in general, and did a report for him and the rest of the owners. And then I've just sort of, he asked me if I'd come back in and do some more, like around the recruitment, but be a mentor for Liam a little bit and Barry and sort of a sounding board for everybody. So it worked with where I'm in, what I'm doing at this moment in time with the rest of my work that I do in football. So it was a great opportunity and I've really enjoyed it.
So what were your first impressions of the club, and I suppose where were the areas that you identified that needed to be improved immediately?
Yeah, look, I think the sort of the big thing was that there was no real sort of foundations as such, that everything was a little bit reactive rather than being proactive, trying to get ahead of the game. So behind the scenes, there wasn't as much infrastructure in certain roles that a football club the size of Cork City should be having. That is the norm probably with a lot of the clubs in Ireland, but as well as in the UK where I'm working. So obviously I identified that to have a director of football would be a good opportunity for the club, obviously. And Dermot appointed Liam, which is a fantastic appointment because Liam knows the club, played for the club and got the club at heart, but he's very hard working and I've enjoyed working with him over the last few weeks and that. But it was just the whole elements of what I think needed to make the club a lot more professional, and when you have more football people involved in it, it helps along the way. So again, with helping the process of appointing Barry in the first place and then working with Barry, working with Liam and working with Dermot, we've got probably a few more football people in the key roles that are needed in any football club, to be fair.
Yeah, I think it was January 6th you were announced as coming into this role, and then 5 days later Barry Robson was appointed as manager. So that was a quick process. Can you talk us through that and how Barry was identified?
Yeah, look, I think we'd had plenty of applicants for the job, and I got to work with it really quickly. I think I'd sort of done a bit of work before that anyway, before I'd got announced what I was doing, coming in for, and basically spoke to, narrowed it down to a few options, and I just felt that Barry was the one key candidate that stood out with his sort of his experience of where he managed and played at before, because when you're playing days, it gives you an experience of what it's like at football clubs, but being at Aberdeen and Raith, and his enthusiasm for the club and wanting to improve things and the high standards that he's got, I thought it was a perfect fit for it all. And so far, it's on the pitch, things are working well. Obviously, I had a few injuries over the last few weeks, which are out of the control of the manager's hands at times, but I think he's got standards of a lot higher than maybe they have been, or he keeps pushing everybody, not just the players, but people behind the scenes, because he wants to make this football club great again.
And has he come knocking at your door looking for advice, or how does it work?
Yeah, look, I'm always, even if I'm not here, which I'm not over all the time, I'm on the end of a call for him and Liam and Dermot all the time. So yeah, it's talking about anything specific on the pitch for him, behind the scenes, recruitment, or what do you think to this, what to do that, because I'm there to offer advice. I've seen a lot of things over the years, as I said, 20 years of managing and working with different people in football, it gives you different things. So I'm there to offer advice to anybody and hopefully help along the way.
It's kind of an interesting year for Cork, I suppose, because the First Division isn't where they want to be, quite obviously. So I imagine there's a lot of planning going in for the Premier Division next year.
Yeah, look, without being over confident, the main thing is to win the league and get back to the Premier League. So I think when you're a size of a club like Cork and the history and where they've been in the past is where we want to get to. But you can't, it's very difficult to jump from where we are now to challenging for winning the Premier League. You've got to go step by step and have lay more foundations that you need to go along. But you've still got to match the expectancy level, what everybody in the Cork area wants to do, because of it is a big football club and can do that. So, yeah, we've, like a few other clubs probably in this division, but we have to do, because we are the favourites and we think we've got a real strong chance of going up, that we are planning in what, for next season, of being in the Premier League without being too complacent as well.
You manage at some clubs with high expectation levels as well. Like, how big of a task is it to kind of manage that expectation level but also kind of improve the club as you go on?
I think in football in general now, it's so hard to manage expectation and supporters, because everybody wants, and not just in Ireland, but Cork specifically talking about, everybody wants instant success. Mm. Everybody wants to win when your favourites for a league 3-4-0 every week. And it's if football was that simple, then we'd all be sort of in top jobs. And you've just got to have a realistic expectancy level and push your players, push the supporters, push your owners, because if you don't, you'll never reach them expectancy levels, but also have a bit of realism of where you want to get to. It's like, if we get promoted, as I said, the expectation from some people might be we're going to win the league in the Premier League next year. Well, it's not that easy. It's all about building blocks and foundations to try and keep the club. The big ambition, a big part of the process is making sure that this club, if it gets promoted end of the season, doesn't come straight back down again, because it puts you back to square one again. So we've got to make sure that all the foundations in every department of this football club is geared to being successful and surviving and progressing year in, year out.
And as you mentioned, Jim, currently being appointed director of football is going to be a big part in that, obviously, which, as you said, Nud Cupwell and academy director, so a vital part in bringing the youngest guys through. So he's going to be a huge factor in all of this.
Yeah, look, and he's been a good soundboard for me, because I'm not too aware of the Irish game, to be fair. Like, over the last few weeks, I've been watching a lot of games, both on laptops, but also I've been up to Dublin for watching a few games. Mm. I've had meetings with directors of football from the lads in the Premier League at clubs. So, again, getting connections and understandings. But somebody like Liam knows what it's all about. He knows what it means to the people of Cork, to what they want from this football club. But also, it's a new job for him as well. And it's not easy for him, because he's gone into a job where he's not taking over from somebody, so he's starting afresh from it all. So I think he's found it sort of a bit of a rude awakening. But then again, when you're academy director, they've got loads of issues and troubles along the way, and this is just another stepping stone of issues and problems. But he's good to bounce off for me as well as me for him.
And the academy as well, is it's a shining light of Cork City as well, and the players that have come through it. You can even see that in the first team this year, the amount of young players that are there, and good young players too.
Look, exactly that you've seen a number of players that have left to go to clubs in England and Europe. And when you see Jaden the other week play for the national team, it's like huge respect for the football club, and it's what it has to keep doing. And if even players coming through the academy, if you're selling them on and making money, well, that's a big box ticked, because they're going to bigger clubs along the way. But even if you're bringing your players through and they play the next 15 years in the League of Ireland, you've still given somebody a career, and you can treat that as equally satisfying to the same as somebody who's gone for 500, a million euros or whatever. So it's a huge catchment area, and that's why it's so important to get these younger players through in the door to start with, then give them the education and the development, and then obviously the opportunity. And that's a big thing over the last few years, and even now, that if anybody's in any doubt of wanting their kids to sign for Cork City, because I think they might not have a pathway. Well, you only have to look this year, the number of lads that have made the debuts. Gillian, obviously, at 16, played nearly every game. Donald's just got in the younger age. And then the bench has just been full of younger ones, which it's not ideal because you don't want a group of them all the time. But the injuries that the club have had, it's allowed them this opportunity. So somebody's misfortune is the fortune of somebody else getting into the first team environment, training or match days. So there is a pathway at this football club to make careers, whether it's in Europe or in the League of Ireland.
Will you look to strengthen in the July transfer window with an eye to next year in the Premier Division, or what's the strategy?
I think what we're looking at the moment is to make sure that we do get over the line and get promoted. We're in a really good position to have lost only two games all season. It's great.
Yeah.
Still a long way to go, because every time Barry's putting a team out, it's the big fish and everybody wants to beat Cork City. So we've got to make sure we focused on that, so it'd be hopefully get some players into, just add a little depth to the squad, but with one eye on them, players could be here for hopefully playing the Premier League next year, or just do a job to get us promoted. And then we've got obviously recruitment policy of looking at players for the League of the Premier League next year as well. So you're always one transfer window in front of it.
Yeah,
if that makes sense, that we're looking at sort of now, but also for December when the season finishes as well.
Is it tricky to attract players to Cork City? Is it tough sell to players in England to come over?
It's not easy in terms of, Cork's a beautiful area, but I would think, looking at it now, the first port of call for a lot of players is going to Dublin. There's one choice of four or five clubs, but there's so much here in Cork for players to come. And I think attracting players can be easy, but it can be hard at the same time. And what I've learned or seen in Ireland especially is that players that play in Dublin or live in Dublin sort of do the recycle of going from club to club.
Yeah.
Even though it's, 2.5 hours down to here, some players don't want to relocate, so they're just staying in Dublin. So that's part of sort of the difficulties that you have. But that happens in every country. Trying to get players, say, to the northeast of England from London it's just the same issue that you have as well. So there's many obstacles of recruitment that you have, and you've got to deal with it, but also you've got to make sure that you sort of tell them the positives of what they can achieve with this place. If we're potentially going to be back in the Premier League, we're attracting 4,000 to 6,000, 7,000 every week, and that's a massive attraction. And then where the club's been in the past of what it can do. So, yeah, you've got lots of conversations, interviews, and selling football clubs is part of the gift of the manager, the owner, the director of football, and it's something you have to do.
Also, the amount of players who've come here to play and have never left is really, really fascinating.
Stuff
Cork.
And it's like in football in general, no matter what area you're from, you're always getting players that are coming back from where they grew up and they want to finish their career back at the club they played for. So we have the advantage of lads have lived in, been brought up in Cork, are coming back and wanting to be close to families. So we have that luxury at times. The boys in Dublin have all that as well. But it's part of the process. No matter where you are in the world, recruitment isn't as easy as everybody can imagine. You don't just look at a player, oh, we'll sign him. There's lots of different difficulties that you have to go through.
Just to wrap up, Simon, I suppose, what's the message to supporters who have been so starved for success? They've seen the club go up and down and up and down over the past years. What's the message there?
Yeah, look, just keep backing the football club. It's had a lot of dark days recently. It's had some fantastic days a long time ago. Hopefully, it's going to start getting the good days again as well. It's when this club nearly went out of business a few years ago, and that's what people have got to remember at times, that there wasn't loads of people that were coming into the club that were willing to put X amount of money in, and he could have quite easily folded, if we're being honest. So have expectancy levels, have a realistic expectancy level, because everybody's working extremely hard, Dermot and Anna and all, everybody who loves this football club, to make it successful again, but making sure it's on a sustainable platform where it's not just instant success now and you have the knock-on effect of failure in a year's time, 18 months' time. You want this club to build and build and build and be challenging for Europe every year like it did many years ago, but it has had some tough times. And yeah, keep back in the club, but have a little bit of realistic expectations level as well as being passionate about it, because that's the thing about this club, they're so passionate, the supporters travelling home and away, and hopefully everybody connected to the club can give them supporters something to cheer about come the end of the season and beyond for many years.
Finally, are England going to win the World Cup?
Well, they had a good start last night, but that can quite easily unfold next week. I think England have got a real strong chance. I think they've got some good strength in depth. Last night you see that takes two wide players off and brings Rashford and Saka on. Well, tells you how good, and left Palmer and Gibbs White, a few others at home as well, Alexander. So they've got a good strength. The conditions might play a part as the competition goes on. You need a bit of luck and you need a few things to go your way. And we probably got that last night with the penalty decision and then retake. So we've got a chance, but if I had my last pound or euro, I wouldn't be putting it on us to win the World Cup, but I'd be awful.
Simon, a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.